Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Ruth, and we'll be reading chapter 2. Chapter 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave it to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "That man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her mother-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you, in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law.
As we look at this chapter, Ruth chapter 2, it's good to be reminded of some of the things that we looked at last week. And that's that Ruth is walking into an unfamiliar land, an unfamiliar situation. And I don't doubt that some of you, you've had that experience. You've probably traveled to a different part of the world where you either couldn't speak the language or people spoke differently. That was probably Ruth's experience here. It would have been a little bit different of a dialect, a related language, but an unusual language, different customs, in a different situation, no family connections other than her mother-in-law. It all would have been strange to her, unusual, and certainly uncertain. You have to remember that she's walking into this situation now coming from a different land as a widow, as somebody who would be very much in need, without a protector, without a helper, without a strong family structure, at least not that she knows of. And so she would probably feel quite alone, uncertain, not knowing where to go. And there's a sense as we went through and we just read this chapter where exactly to try to glean in the field. And as Ruth comes into this situation, we also shouldn't think of it as a safe situation. No, because we've been introduced, or at least as she perceives it, as she walks into it, it wouldn't feel very safe. Now, it turned out quite safe, but there's a lot of uncertainty in this passage. Remember, she's walking into Israel in the time of the judges, and that land was anything but safe. Many of God's people were living in horrific, outright rebellion. And if you read in between the lines how Boaz tells his servants not to touch this young woman, and how they tell her, stay close to us, don't go in the wrong parts of the field, this is a world and a situation of some danger, of some uncertainty, of some unknowns. And so you have to think of Ruth here being somewhat lost in the sense of not knowing exactly where to go, not knowing the people, not speaking exactly the same ways, being an outsider, being a stranger, being a widow, being in uncertainty, a foreigner. And then coming into Israel during the time of the judges, the darkest and the worst and the most difficult time. But then we see Ruth finding, in the middle of that trial and that challenge, both a protector and a provider. A protector and a provider. And it's a beautiful picture. It's a gospel picture. It's a good news picture. Well, so now Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite is her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. It's interesting that they're both spoken of as returning. And that comes up later in the passage. Why is Ruth returning? We don't know that she's ever been in Israel before. But she is from the family of Abraham, way, way back. Is ultimately, from Abraham's nephew Lot, way, way back. And so these two, her Lot, her great-great-grandfather or ancestor Lot, was a righteous man. And there is a sense that in some way, this is one of God's children coming back to where they ultimately belong. And we looked at that picture of return and repentance. And there's this great hope in this. She's coming back from the country of Moab to the covenant people. And now they came to Bethlehem, 1 verse 22, at the beginning of barley harvest. As far as we know, that would have been around April in their time. They had the reverse of growing seasons that we do. They would plant in Israel, and they still do in what we think of as the fall. So September, October, they plant, and then it rains throughout, off and on. It'll rain throughout November, December, January, and then they harvest in what is our springtime. So April, May. And the barley harvest would have been the earlier harvest, of the crops. And there they come to Bethlehem, if you take it literally, the house of bread at the beginning of barley harvest. And then it's interesting, we come to chapter 2 and we're introduced right off to this relative, Boaz. It actually gives us a hint of great hope, because here you have widows, women who are without help and without shelter. We looked at that last week, women who don't have descendants to take care of them. And right away we're introduced to this reality that there's a relative, and he's introduced in reverse order. Normally you would introduce with the name of a person first. His name was Boaz, and these are where he's from, and these are his characteristics. But it's actually in reverse order, and so the emphasis is hope. There's a relative. There's somebody they know still around who has survived this famine. And not only that, there's a relative who's a man of great wealth. There's different interpretations of that. Great wealth. But the sense is that he's a strong man. He's a capable man. He's well set up. He's running a farming business, and things are going well, and he's a man who's able to take care of others. He's from the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Also, that name is not quite certain. The only thing we can connect it to is one of the pillars in the temple is later named Boaz. And they're not sure what the root means, but at least it's become to be associated with strength, with a pillar of the community kind of person, that this Boaz is a man of strength, and he's a relative. And so chapter 2 is introducing us to a scene of some hope. Well, then we come to Ruth now. Notice she's Ruth the Moabitess. Throughout this chapter, she's a foreigner. She's the Moabitess. It comes up in verse 2, the conversation with the foreman of the reapers in verse 6. It's the young Moabite woman who's come from the country of Moab. She calls herself a foreigner in verse 10. She says, "I'm not like one of your servants," verse 13. 21, Ruth the Moabitess again. It's emphasized over and over in this chapter. She's an outsider. She's from the wrong place. She doesn't belong here. She's a foreigner. And then she comes to Naomi and says, "Please let me go in the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." Now we already see some hope for that in verse 1, but she doesn't know that yet. And here she's asking permission, and there's a sense of uncertainty behind it, and "please let me go," and there's even a sense of some desperation behind it, that here as a single widowed woman, she's going to go out in the fields in the time of the judges. Remember, in some of these times where even a mighty man of valor like Gideon was trying to hide his grain. These were not easy times. These were not great times by and large in Israel. And so she's taking a risk, but she's diligent, and she's also very respectful. She asks permission of Naomi, and she says, "Go." And think of her now walking out into the unknown. I don't know if some of you, maybe you've ended up in a foreign city, or even a place like New York City or Detroit or Los Angeles or something like that. And you walk into a section of that city and it's unfamiliar, and you don't know the streets and you don't know which way to go. And you're having to ask for help and you're uncertain whether you're safe or not. Well, think of Ruth going into this field and not really knowing exactly where to go, and not knowing who's going to be kind or friendly to her. We can't take for granted that all these field owners are just going to be happy that somebody's gleaning. Remember, they're violating God's law on the worst levels in the time of Judges. We certainly can't expect, we wouldn't think, Leviticus 19 behavior. In Leviticus 19, it says, "You shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you harvest the gleanings. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." So they were supposed to allow a sojourner or a stranger to go around the edges of the field and to take some grain. But there's some uncertainty here. You see that later when Boaz is talking to her and says, don't glean in another field. There's a sense of probably not going to be looked on favorably. And here she goes and she gleans in a field after the reapers. So what would happen is harvest in that time was really a team effort. You'd have some of the strongest young men going ahead with scythes. And they would, as far as we know, this was their procedure. These young men would cut down the stalks of grain. And then after them, a crew of people would go and would gather in the stalks. And then that gatherer team would transport to a threshing floor, which was an area either of packed mud or of stone. And there they would tread out, either literally walk on the grain, break open. Then they would have to winnow, throw it up in the air. The wind would blow away the hulls. Then they'd have to sift the grain. Then they'd have to gather it into bags. And so you would have the whole community going together to do these different things. But according to God's law, in the corners of the fields, they would have to leave some areas for the poor people to harvest. And if they accidentally dropped some grain, they were supposed to leave it for the poor to pick up. It's an interesting system. It's actually a very wise system if we look at God's law. Because it wasn't a welfare system where they just gave people for nothing. No, these poor people would have to get up and they'd have to do some hard work. But it also was a system where it taught the wealthier of God's people that they were to share in their increase, that they were to share in their blessings, that they were not to be greedy, that they were to allow others to find food and to share that food with them. And actually, if you look at God's law and how it shaped and molded Israel, it wasn't pure capitalism in the sense that some people cling to where it's mine, mine, mine. It was a system where God had set up these boundaries and these parameters, you could say, where the poor were well taken care of, where they would be able to be providing even for themselves. But again, there's a tension in this passage where we can't take for granted that the field owner would allow this. And that comes out in verse 8. Don't glean in another field. Stay close by my young women. That there's a sense of she might go out in a field where she'd just get yelled at or chased off. That also comes out in verse 16. Do not rebuke her, Boaz says to his young men. And so she could have ended up in a field, but instead she ends up in this field where there's this leader and this man who's gracious and who is very clearly a child of God. So there she is working away in the field of Boaz. It's very hopeful. She stumbled on the field of a family member. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. The word that's very prominent in there is, of course, the Lord. Here's a man who is a believer. An unusual man in Israel of those times. People are running after idols. They're into all kinds of wickedness. And here we see a strong and a blessed man from the house of bread, Bethlehem. And there he is. And the first greeting he gives is, the Lord be with you. Certainly a pious man. A man of God. I used to have actually a boss that did this every morning when I came to work. And it always would throw me off because I came from this kind of quiet Dutch Reformed family where we didn't talk about these things too loud. And then I'd have this boss and he would say things to me first thing in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning when you have the sleep in your eyes. He would say things to me like, are you still loving the Lord? And are you walking with the Lord? And the Lord bless you. And he would give those greetings and it always kind of set me back on my heels and I didn't know what to say. And I always had to think twice. Why is he doing this? What does this mean? But he was a man of God. And it showed that the Lord's ways were always on his mind, that he began his days. And when we see Boaz walking in this way, his desire is that the Lord would be with his reapers and his community and his workers. And It's something to think about. Do we want households like this? Do we ever greet one another in ways like this? Do we pray with one another and do we speak of the need for the Lord's blessings? And notice, they answered him, "The Lord bless you." This man is not just a good businessman, not just a good family man. He's a worshiper of the Lord, and it's evident in his words and in his greetings, and it's evident in the way that his employees speak back to him. What a beautiful picture this is. It's a picture of a godly, strong leader. And I hope and I pray that our families and your families, especially men, would grow more and more in this direction. Lights in a dark land, even. Even perhaps sticking out in the church. Remember, this is a covenant community, that we would be a people who speaks of the Lord courageously and boldly. So this is a holy clan, a holy set apart family, and even a workplace. By the way, you know what happens if you speak this way? If you speak of the Lord, that means you'll be held to account by others. If we speak of the Lord in our life and in our practical everyday life or in the workplace, that means people will know that we are Christians, and they will see and they will hold to account. Well, then Boaz, he has this conversation with his servant. Whose young woman is this? The servant's first reaction is kind of one of discomfort. Calls her a Moabite twice, and there's a sense in his language that he's trying to excuse allowing her to be around. He seems to be uncomfortable with her presence, if you read between the lines. And she said that it's a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. It's a lot of explanation. And it almost seems he's not sure what to think, and yet he's saying good things about her. She seems to be very diligent, yet he calls her a Moabite twice. And he just explains, she came back with Naomi, she said, "Please let me glean," and she's continued from morning until now. There's actually disagreement on exactly what this means, but overall the picture is she's been diligent. And she's continuing. She rested a little in the house. Some think that means that when Boaz showed up, he sees her resting in the house out in the country there by the field. By the way, they would live usually in the village or in the city, and then they might have barns or a house out in the country for times like this. But here Boaz is probably coming from the city. He's coming to his fields, and maybe Ruth actually is resting in the house at this time, but there's a sense of this servant giving a quick explanation of what's been happening. And there's a sense of tension. How will Boaz respond? And he responds with grace and openness and kindness. Boaz said to Ruth, "You'll listen, my daughter, will you not? Don't go glean in another field nor go from here, but stay close by my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field in which they reap and go after them." So there were those marker stones in the fields. And what he's saying is stay close to my young woman. You'll be safe. You don't have to worry around us. We'll watch out for you. And don't worry. We'll take care of you. It's implicit that there's danger all around. It's implicit at least that there's uncertainty all around. And Boaz is saying, don't worry about it. And he's even saying, "Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you?" So that's implying that for a needy young widow, probably mid-20s, being out in the fields in these times was not the safest place to be. And here Boaz has really taken her under his wing. He's saying, "Look, I'll make sure you get food, going to make sure you're staying in the right fields, going to make sure the young men don't touch you, that you're safe and that your purity is kept. And then when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." He even provides her with water. Instead of having to go draw her own water from the well, she's welcome to drink with his crew. And so he's really providing everything for her. Food, shelter, safety. And she recognizes she doesn't deserve it. She fell on her face, bowed to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" This is a humble confession. And Ruth is a picture here, by the way, of one who realizes that they don't deserve grace. She's poor and she's needy. This is a picture of how we ought to come to God and how we ought to really come to this life. That we don't come thinking we deserve all of the blessings in this life or that we deserve a good life. She comes here and saying, "Why have I found favor?" That's how we should come to the Lord. "Lord, why would you show me favor? I'm just a sinner and a rebel and a foreigner. Why would you take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" She understands she belongs on the outside. Is that your confession as a sinner? That you deserve by nature to be on the outside. That should be our confession. And that should be what we experience and understand, that we don't deserve God's favor. Something like the confession of Job. "The Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." God's people should be those who recognize that we deserve nothing. We're from the family of Adam. We are fallen by nature. We are foreigners. We're different than God. We don't deserve to be in His land and in His place and under His blessing. And yet we come to Him for help. And so Ruth didn't come to the promised land expecting that she deserved anything. But she came as poor and needy, looking for help. Well, then she has this conversation with Boaz. Notice all the attention he pays to her. First, he pays attention to her in the field. Later, at mealtime, he calls her over. And she sees, by the way, she seems to keep her distance even at the mealtime. But he invites her in. This is a man, by the way, who would treat a refugee with grace and kindness. One thing I would give a caution on is I understand there's all kinds of politics about borders and different views. But in God's law in the Old Testament, the righteous would treat a refugee and a sojourner with grace and with kindness and with patience and with care. Let us be careful how we treat strangers. God's people are to be those who are generous and kind and patient. And though somebody you might think doesn't deserve to be somewhere, that's not God's way of treating people. He welcomes here Boaz with open arms, feeding, providing. He says he's heard. And at the very root or core of Boaz's speech to her is verse 12. "The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." That's really what Ruth has done. Remember her speech last time? The picture of under the wings is the picture of a little bird, a little chick, that when it starts raining or there's a storm or a threat, they run to the mother hen and they hide in underneath that bird. And that expression, by the way, is all throughout the Psalms. "My soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge." Psalm 57. And we're singing actually different psalms today that speak of that. That the Lord's people are those who come to Him for refuge. And she does this. She comes ultimately to the Lord for refuge. That was her confession in chapter 1. She comes under the Lord's wings. And the Lord provides her with Boaz. This man who will be her redeemer and now provides. Well, Boaz provides for her in so many ways. By the way, he's even an anti-harassment boss. Do not rebuke her. He does everything he can to provide for this young foreign woman. Watching over her, making sure that she's not treated with cruelty making sure that everything's taken care of. She goes home with a wonderful gleaning, about an ephah. So that's about 3/4 of a bushel of beaten out grain. And Naomi is amazed. And she knows somebody's taken notice. Somebody has blessed her and watched over her and cared for her. And then Naomi makes the connection. This man is a relation, a close relative. The hope is found. It's a funny, almost an interesting exchange in verse 21. Ruth gets something wrong. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabite said to me, "You shall stay close by my young men till they have finished all my harvest." Boaz had actually said, "Stay close to my young woman." And Naomi says in the next verse, "Stay close to the young woman." Probably here, Ruth is hoping implicitly to find a man amongst the servants, amongst the reapers. That's what she thinks she's worthy of. She's probably hoping to stay close behind those men who are doing the reaping, and she knows she's just a Moabite. She's just at the slave class. She's just a low-level woman. And she says, probably here with some hope, "I'm going to stay close by his young men." Probably hoping. Maybe one of these men who's a laborer working in the field, maybe one of them, something could happen. And maybe she could be taken care of. And maybe there's some hope of settling down and having a family and having children. But Naomi says, "Stay with his young woman." She stayed close. She's obedient. She listens. She gleans until the end. And she lives with her mother-in-law. She doesn't go off with some young man. She doesn't go off and live with somebody else. She stays with her mother-in-law. She's loyal. She's obedient. She stays with the young women. She stays in the protected, safe, provided place. And so, here in this chapter, we see that the Lord has gathered in under his wings, using Boab, using this Redeemer, and he has provided protection and covering and refuge and grace. And what we're seeing in these passages is really shadows and pictures of what God provides in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's dim and it's shadowy. But you can see so many connections of ultimately the picture of Christ and his cross and his protection and his provision for his people. And you can see the picture of a sinner being gathered in, poor and needy and unworthy, and being brought in to the Lord. And so the question from this passage is, do you see yourself also as a poor and a needy sinner? A slave by nature, a foreigner from God, a stranger to God, who has been called in to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is mighty and strong to save. And the call of the Bible is, repent, return unto the Lord, come to him. Christ, ultimately, is a provider and a protector who's greater than Boaz. Forgiving sins, the light in the darkness. And so the call of the gospel is, come to him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from this world. Believe in him and you will be saved. Amen. Let us pray.